Hello and welcome to our study today. We're going to be talking about obedience to God. Obedience is better. And I'm glad to have this time with you, and I hope you'll listen to this lesson as we talk about a very key element of getting to heaven, and that's obedience. Obedience is a key element in reaching the great home of heaven. And we want to obey God and do His will. Our lesson is called Obedience is Better. And we're going to start with a passage from 1 Samuel chapter 15. I hope you know this account. It's about Saul. He was the first king of Israel. The people clamored for a king, and God gave them Saul. And Saul was a good man at first, but he began to make blunders. This is one of the second blunders that he makes in 1 Samuel chapter 15. God had told him to go and utterly destroy an evil people, a people that was very sinful. And God told him to utterly destroy everyone, every man, every woman, every child, destroy all of their animals, their cows, their sheep. And Saul didn't do it. Saul did not destroy them. They were a sinful people, and God is going to destroy sinful people. But Saul did not do it. And so when he come back from the battle, he has the animals with him. He has the king of the Amalekites with him. Agag was his name. And Samuel confronts Saul, and he begins to chide him for not obeying God. I'd like to pick that up now, that account. And in verse 17 of 1 Samuel 15, and Samuel said, "When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribe of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. So when you were humble, God made you king. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Yes, we should have destroyed them, but the reason we didn't was we brought them back to offer as sacrifices to God. Yes, we disobeyed God, but it was only for a good purpose, Saul is reasoning. The good purpose is we're going to honor God. We've disobeyed him, but now we're going to honor him by worshiping him with these animals. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Obedience is the key element. Now, that's all right to sacrifice to God because He requires that too. But you can't disobey God and please God. He thought he could disobey God in one element and please him by worshiping him. He thought he could please God by disobeying and then by worshiping. But Samuel said, you can't do that. And then he goes on to say in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 23, For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And so he was rebellious. He was stubborn. And he disobeyed God. And God rejected him as the king. So our lesson today and our point that we want to make is that obedience is better. We have to obey God. We can't disobey God to do something else to please him, because disobedience never pleases God. We can't go rob a bank and then say, I'm going to give all the money I stole from the bank to God. I'm going to make it to make my contribution from that. You think God would accept that? For you to go rob a bank so that you can have money to give to the church collection? You think God's going to be happy with that? No, that's stubbornness, and that's rebellion, and that is as the sin of witchcraft. And so you cannot please God by disobeying. You just can't do it. We have to obey God. Obedience is better. Obedient faith is what saved Noah. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. So God told Noah in Genesis chapter 6 to build an ark. And he obeyed him. He built an ark. He did all that God had told him to do. Genesis 6 and 22. He obeyed all that God said. And so that's what saved his house. The Bible says, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. They were saved by obeying God and preparing the ark. And so obedience was key in Noah's being saved from the flood. Furthermore, Abraham had an obedient faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. And so Abraham received the promised land. His descendants received it. It was reckoned unto Abraham for righteousness, because Abraham obeyed God. Faith only would have allowed the children of Israel to remain in Egypt if they only had faith, but they had faith and they had obedience. Hebrews 11 and 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. And so the children of Israel were saved when they obeyed God. Noah was saved when he built the ark. Abraham was saved by leaving his country and his kinsmen. The Israelites were saved from the Egyptian bondage when they did what God said. They crossed the Red Sea. And so faith only doesn't have any justification. In James chapter 2, we read these very important words concerning obedience. It says in James 2 and verse 14, and listen to this. It says, and what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? He doesn't have any obedience. Can just faith only save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Faith only doesn't help the poor and the starving. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Without obedience, you've got a dead faith. Verse 18 of James 2. Yea, a man may say that thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Faith can be seen in our acts of obedience. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Faith without obedience is a dead faith, and it's a devil's faith. The devils also believe and tremble. Verse 21 of James 2 says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? There was obedience. Abraham was told to offer his son, and that's what he did. And the Bible says that was when he became the friend of God. Seest thou how that faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. And so faith must be an obedient faith. Obedience is a key. King Saul went and did part of what God said, but he didn't do all of what God said. He went and destroyed some of the Amalekites, but he kept the king. He destroyed some of the animals, but he brought the best ones back. That was not obedience. Partial obedience is not obedience. It is rebellion, and it is stubbornness. And so reading on here in James 2, it says in verse 24, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way. So she obeyed God. And by doing that, she was saved from the destruction in the city of Jericho. All of Jericho died except for Rahab and her family because she obeyed. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Faith only would leave men lost. They would be lost. Notice Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, and what it says about Jesus. It says, though he were a son, this is Hebrews 5, verse 8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. He has provided salvation to who? To those that obey. Mark 16 and 15 and 16 says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. You must believe and you must be baptized in order to be saved. He is the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. If you don't obey the command to be baptized, you will never enter into Christ. You'll always be outside of Christ. Galatians 3, 26 and 27 says, now notice this about baptism. Notice where it puts you. We are all sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Jesus, or baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. What happens when we're baptized? We're baptized into Christ. Romans 6, 3 and 4. Know ye not that so many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus, was baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him through baptism unto death. And like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, we should also rise to walk in newness of life. If we're not baptized, we stay outside of Christ. If we're not baptized, Romans 6, 3 and 4, we never enter into his death. Faith only would leave men in their sins. Faith only cannot avail. We must be obedient, and that's what was wrong with Saul. He displeased God because he did not obey God. That's why he was not allowed to continue on as the king. He finally died in battle. In Proverbs 28 and verse 9 says, "Whosoever turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination." Luke 6 and 46 says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" In other words, why are you calling him Lord if you're not obeying him? He's not the king of your life if you're not obeying the king. The king has all authority. We must be obeying the king in order to be pleasing unto him. And so Matthew 7 and 21 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." That's what's wrong with Saul. He called on the Lord, but he did not obey the Lord. "Not everyone who saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Now the King James Version uses the word doeth, which means you got to keep on doing it. It's continuous action. You can't just obey God one day and that's the end of it. You must continue to obey God every day in order to enter into his kingdom. Now the scriptures tell us to hear the word and then to do what the word says. And so we must obey all of the Bible and not just some of the Bible. We must do everything the Lord teaches us to do. Matthew 28 and verse 20 says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." Now, God wants us to do his will. That's why we have the Bible. We don't have the Bible so that we can ignore the Bible and not read the Bible and not obey the Bible. That's not the reason why we have one. We have one to read it and obey it, to believe it. And so when we're told to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, that's what the Bible, that's what God expects us to do. He expects us to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And to obey God is better. Someone says, "Well, I believe in God." Well, that's not enough. The devils believe and tremble. You must be a believer and you must be an obedient believer of the Bible. To obey is better than just mere intentions. Someone might say, "Well, I intend to be a faithful Christian." Well, that's, you've got to be a faithful Christian. You've got to be, and to be a faithful Christian, you've got to be an obedient Christian. Because that's a faithful Christian, one who obeys God. Many say they're going to obey someday. Well, that's great, but you haven't obeyed him. You're still lost. "I'm going to obey him one day" doesn't save you. It only makes your conscience harder. The more you resist God, the harder it is for you to obey him. And so love is to be in deed and in truth not in word and tongue. 1 John 3:17-18. Beloved, believe not in word and in tongue, but in deed do something, and in truth obey the truth. Respond to the truth. That's how you obey God, and that's how you're to be saved. To obey is better than imaginations and dreams and good feelings. Without obedience, you may have dreams of being a Christian husband or wife. You may have dreams of taking your children to church. But that's not good enough to have a dream. You've got to actually do what it says. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It may seem right to you to just say, well, I believe in God, and that's all I need to do. No, you need to obey. To obey is better than imaginations and dreams and good feelings. Obedience is better than saying, I love God. You've got to obey Him in order to prove your love for God. You can't substitute things. That's what Saul tried to do. He said, well, I didn't obey God. I didn't kill Agag. I didn't kill the best of the flocks. But here's what I'm going to do. We're going to offer those a sacrifice to God. No, you can't substitute like that. You can't make substitutes. You have to obey what God said. Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5, he was a leper. And Elisha told him to go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. He didn't like that. He got angry about that. Can you imagine that? A prophet of God telling someone how to be well, how to be cured of your leprosy, and that person getting angry and getting upset. But you know what? When he finally submitted to the obedience of the commands to dip 7 times in the Jordan River, when he came out of that water the 7th time, he was clean. Obedience caused him to receive the blessing that he wanted. And so that's what we've got to do. We've got to do exactly what God says. Then the blessings are going to be there. Now, will you obey the gospel? Are you going to obey the gospel, and are you going to obey it now? We've mentioned some verses in this study. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Have you done that yet? That's Mark 16:16. If you haven't done that yet, you need to do it right away. You need to contact someone with the Church of Christ in your area and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Repent of your sins, Acts 2:38. Confess the wonderful and loving and powerful and saving name of Jesus Christ, Matthew 10:32. If we will confess Him before men, He will confess us before the Father, which is in heaven. You need to confess Christ before men. You need to repent of your sins, turn away from them, be immersed in water of baptism for the remission of your sins. You obey that. That's the best thing for you to do. And don't make excuses, and don't try to put it off like some people do. And don't make excuses like Saul did. Excuses is not going to save anybody. Obedience is what's going to save us. Obedience to God's will brings God's blessings. Obedience brings forgiveness of sins. Obedience is the key. Obedience is better than to sacrifice. We must be obedient to God's will. And I appreciate you so much listening today as we discuss this very, very important subject. And I hope you'll continue to study your Bible and search your Bible so that you can know God's will. You can't obey what you don't know. And if you don't study, you just don't know, and therefore you can't obey God. You must be a student of the Word of God. And I encourage you to study your Bible. If you're a Christian, study your Bible. If you're not a Christian, you got to study your Bible, and then you got to obey it. All of us, whether we're Christians or not, we have to obey the Bible and do what it says. Thank you for listening today. May the Lord bless you today as you continue with this day and the events of this day. We pray that you will go to the Church of Christ, be a faithful servant of God, and serve Him every day. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.